Well, today on the hot seat, we are speaking with one of our regulars. He is the Minister of Health, Tyler Shandro. And Minister, as always, welcome back. Great to be speaking with you again.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. It's great to talk to you again.
All right. So first question for you, 945,000 Albertans today are eligible for their doses. Tell us, Minister, who's eligible today.
Well, today we're opening up vaccines to those who are in phase 2B. So this is folks who are 16 to 64 who have underlying conditions that might put them at risk of a severe outcome from COVID. So we're now starting up with those folks to get vaccinated, which is great news.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess in terms of that, too, we know one thing in that this is something that you and others have consistently reminded Albertans of, and that is your confidence. Are you still feeling confident that anyone wanting the vaccine can get their first dose by June 30th?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, we're still giving AstraZeneca to folks who are 55 to 64. And considering stepping down to age 50 to match the group we opened it to a few weeks ago, the limits are some precautions that doctors have highlighted for us. But it is an effective vaccine. The benefits far outweigh any of the risks based on the evidence to date. And so everybody will have that information disclosed to them by the folks giving out the vaccines, and we're very confident with the allocation tables we've given so far by the federal government that we'll still be able to get those first doses by the end of June.
All right, that's great. And also as well, you had mentioned the AstraZeneca obviously suspended for people under the age of 55. Now, obviously, I guess that no, you don't have a crystal ball, and neither do I, to be able to figure out when exactly that this could be taken care of. But has anybody or any health officials given the ministry a timeline as to say we should have an answer whether it's safe or not safe for this age group by, or is this one of those that you're really going to have to wait and see?
I think we just got to wait for the evidence and make sure that we're following the recommendations of the physicians. We also want to make sure that there are decisions that are made where all the provinces are trying to be aligned, so just to reduce confusion, make sure that we're not causing any confusion from province to province, that we all are aligned. And so those doctors are going to keep doing that work and to make sure that we get as many out the door as first doses before June 30th, but making sure that it's based on recommendations of the physicians.
Yeah, and I want to be very clear that in terms of any AstraZeneca reactions, if there were any reactions, they were all in Europe, not a single one in Canada, according to Dr. Hinshaw. So I just wanted to note that as well. Now let's do a comparison here, Minister, because I know, how many less vaccine doses do you think would be administered if pharmacies were not involved in the equation?
Oh, hundreds of thousands. And I think that's why we've had a better rollout here in Alberta than other provinces. We're the first to include the pharmacies. And, starting with 102, I think have over 800 pharmacies now onboarded. But they are doing thousands and thousands of vaccines. And in some cases, communities that are remote and rural, that AHS may have difficulty getting to. So, no, it's a big reason why our rollout has been so successful here.
All right, that's awesome. And also, Minister, we know that there's a long weekend coming up, and usually the April long weekend, very religious for, of course, the Jewish community with Passover, obviously Christians with Easter. Both are very important religious holidays to each, and I'm just wondering, do you have any reminders to people to remember the rules while observing your faith and praying with pride, but at the same time being safe?
Well, just to stick at it, just for a few more weeks so that the vaccines can catch up. I don't think we're going to see a huge third wave. I think the vaccines are going to pull our hospitalizations down, but we do need a few more weeks. And a reminder, too, that as soon as somebody gets a vaccine, it takes 2 weeks for that full protection to be there for that person. So we unfortunately, because of the slow, provision of the vaccines from the federal government, we really should have had these vaccines in February to us. But that's unfortunately meaning that it's the timing with such important holidays that we have, like Passover and Easter, it's unfortunate timing, but we just got to stick at it for a few more weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no, it's definitely, I do remember the Fairview with the vaccine lull from the federal government. And I guess now that situation, not necessarily to point fingers here, but obviously when big pharmaceutical kind of has you by the throat, it's kind of difficult in that way. So I guess with like a big pharmaceutical, how much does this underscore the importance of, I guess, what your colleague Minister Schweitzer likes to call health security, vaccine security?
Yeah, and it's about when you negotiate agreement, you negotiate not just how many you're going to get and what the price is going to be, but you're also going to be negotiating the delivery schedule and holding to the provider to account for getting the vaccines by a certain date and hopefully negotiating vaccines ahead of other countries, or at least on par with other countries. So that's, I think, been the disappointing thing for us here. With, as you say, the health security in Canada, that we have relied on other countries to give us our vaccines for us. And we have not done a good job in Canada in negotiating that delivery schedule.
And that would be another show on its own. So definitely something to talk about in the future. And Minister, let's talk about rural Alberta here, especially the north. We see that $6 million being invested by taxpayers to help train and educate rural doctors. This is amazing news for people up here. Tell us a little more about this.
Sure. And we actually did announce this last April, but I think because of COVID, the announcement really was lost. So it was part of the action plan that we announced last April 24th. We have made a little bit of a change to the $6 million in how we can essentially buy spots at med schools for rural Albertans to be able to go to med school, return to their communities. And in exchange for us paying for the tuition, they would enter into an agreement with us and we'd be able to send them back to rural Alberta. We are now helping this money go through the organization called RPAP, which is recruiting physicians to rural and remote areas. They do a fantastic job.
Yes.
We've also recently provided them with a stable funding going forward as well. They haven't always, with previous governments, had stable funding, and we're very proud to be working with RPAP in the amazing work that they do to recruit and retain physicians in rural Alberta.
Yeah, no doubt that they do that. And you know what? Since I put that out there, somebody actually had an interesting question. Hi, Minister, this is interesting about helping a rural future physician study. If a rural physician from Alberta wants to practice in Alberta but maybe wants to study in a different province or in the United States, would this program still support them if they were studying abroad but planned on coming home?
Yeah, I guess we call them international medical graduates. And if they, I think there's an opportunity there. I think the details have to be figured out, and that's why we want to have some deference to RPAP, and they already do a lot of amazing work in recruiting and retaining. I think we have to give deference to that great work that RPAP does, but there could be opportunities for an international medical graduate, an IMG, to being able to have some ability for that helping them with their training. Knowing that we already, as taxpayers, do subsidize a huge portion of the tuition, the real tuition,
right,
that med students are, what it costs to train somebody. But for that remainder, I think we can also subsidize the remainder of the tuition that they pay to try and just make sure that we're also just sending some of our graduates to our real communities.
Yeah, definitely, and we welcome them up here with open arms, that's for sure. And also recently announced a $33 million taxpayer investment on catching up on diagnostic imaging. When I say that, I would mean things like CT scans, MRIs, maybe bone density, I'm not sure but of that part. But I know that this was a huge priority to you, Minister, of getting things up to speed, including elective surgeries, but I guess this week it's about CT scans and MRIs. How far behind do you think Alberta Health Services is in that? Because this is, I think, $33 million on top of the initial investment.
Yeah, it's been a problem I think the issue in Alberta is that we have world-class healthcare, but the problem is it's world-class healthcare once you get in. And I think everybody agrees that it just takes too long for our patients in Alberta or in any province to be able to get into the healthcare system. And, I think like 30, 30%, like, for you to be able to get the care that you need, you're either going to need either, you know, diagnostic imaging like x-rays, MRIs, CTs, or you're going to need labs, right? And so 30% of those patient care decisions need some kind of diagnostic imaging. And if it's taking, for the non-urgent stuff, everybody who needs something on an emergency basis is getting it within 24 hours, but the non-urgent stuff is taking months, and it's frustrating for patients. We started in 2020 with an action plan to address some of the systemic issues, but also we know that we need to have some additional funding for diagnostic imaging to also catch up on these wait times as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? The question, I guess, did come up. So, and we have mentioned it on a previous episode, but I guess never hurts to get a reminder on this topic. And that is, the province has invested money in order to be able, or I guess taxpayers have invested money in order to be able to catch up on elective and non-urgent surgeries, and a number of them being performed in private or chartered facilities. Somebody did ask us, so I guess we're maybe a little bit repetitive here. Minister, if somebody needs a surgery now, is it going to come out of our pockets?
No. Not if it's, I mean, we have some medical services that aren't part of the insurance plan, like plastic surgery or something like
that. Right, of course.
But the surgeries that the people need, that, you know, when in, I guess it's the federal legislation defines as medically necessary, no, those are included in the healthcare plan. Nobody pays any portion of it. They're all 100% publicly funded, regardless of where the surgery is done.
Okay, good. Glad that we're able to clear that up. And obviously, I guess on the lighter side of things, Tyler, this is the long weekend coming up. We don't get too many of them, but this is the nice one where some of you get four days. When was the last time you actually had, as Minister of Health, Tyler, 4 days to just take it easy?
Well, I don't. It was well before the pandemic began. I think I was working on Christmas Day. As my kids
wow.
probably remind me. No, I haven't had 4 days. I don't know if I'm still going to get 4 days this long weekend, but we are going to try and spend some time as a family and see if we can get a day of skiing on the weekend. But it's still a lot of work in continuing to for the planning with the vaccine rollout. So. There's still a lot of work ahead of us, but I think there'll be one day I'll be able to enjoy with the family.
Yeah, and I was just hearing from, speaking with a farmer before we chatted with you this morning, and he was mentioning that it got pretty windy down in that area. Did you experience the big wind down there too? I know it was pretty intense up here, but nothing compared to what I was seeing down south. Did you get to experience that?
Yeah, it was windy here in Calgary too. I think I was on the highway that day, and it was... It was pretty, and that stretch on Highway 2 and Highway 22 in those areas, I drive those highways a lot. It can get really, really windy. I've seen cars get blown off the road, actually.
Wow.
So strong there. But we did experience some of it here in Calgary, but not as bad as it was, you know, around Stavely.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, Minister, thank you so much for checking in with us, and look forward to talking to you next week. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks. You as well.
This is Tyler Shandro. He's the Minister of Health for the province of Alberta, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.